Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. Just a banker, a drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people. Yeah, yeah. Welcome back to the show, hour two of the morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. We've got your host James here, joined by Aaliyah.
Hello.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. We are looking forward to hopefully being joined by a special guest. We'll give this some time here. I was afraid of this happening because he's a very busy person. But we'll try to get him on, if not in this hour, throughout sometime this week or this month here as we celebrate WFHR's 85th anniversary today. Happy 85 years young to WFHR.
Happy 85th.
We appreciate the community supporting this station for 85 years and want your memories, want your takes on the station, some of your favorite stuff about WFHR, some of the moments that maybe you've been listening to the airwaves and stuff, and especially want to hear from older listeners out there how you first came across the station. Mm-hmm. And some of that. For us, when we first moved to town, it was their or morning show that we first started listening to. Mm-hmm. My mom and dad really enjoyed it. My grandparents, my nan and papa, actually got them into it. Mm. And we just became fans of it through there. My dad discovered 103 and classic rock and some of those things. So mm-hmm. that's where he eventually went to just listen to classic rock. But there was something that we got right away from this station where we were... I mean, we're literal, like, not just saying it. It's not just a phrase. We, in our DNA, we are gypsies. We moved around a lot. You relate mm-hmm. to this quite
yep.
a bit.
Yep.
And wherever you end up going, you don't really feel like you belong. You don't really feel like you have a footing in the area.
Right.
Having a listening to the station, having locals on the air, gave my mom and dad, and really us by proxy, like we felt like we understood the area a little more. We yeah. felt like we were starting to belong a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There was such a gift in that.
Mm-hmm.
And this station has done so much for so many. I know for me personally, it's given me a home.
Mm-hmm.
It's given me something that I never would have had otherwise.
Right.
I was a struggling artist. I was just another one of those people. This job gave me not just a career, but purpose in mm-hmm. a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not alone in that. I know how many fellow people I've talked to over the airwaves here that have felt very similar to that. Many
mm-hmm.
DJs over the years and many people that certainly got us here.
Yeah.
I love this station. I love the people, and we appreciate you very much. We'll continue to celebrate. One of the ways we are celebrating will come up in just a little bit. But we dive into entertainment news now to kick things off. And thought this was a fun story. A lot of the times when there's going to be new movies coming out, remakes, any of those kind of things, you've got producers who will, you know, let it kind of slide out there, the information mm-hmm. get out there. Hey, does anybody have an interest in a remake of The Maltese Falcon? And you know, so they'll let it slip through the trades or something mm-hmm. like that, and they'll gauge public perception
sure.
to see if they go forward with it. You don't see it from actors very often.
Okay.
But every once in a while it happens, and Brennan Science lives on. Brendan Fraser is in talks to return as Rick O'Connell for another Mummy movie.
I saw that this morning.
And Rachel Weisz is also in those same talks, and we're finding out about this from them. Like,
nice.
They're the ones that kind of broke this news. There aren't many details yet. A source says this is not a reboot and is a sequel that would disregard the third movie, The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
Okay.
Rachel didn't return for that one, and her character was played by somebody else, so they wouldn't necessarily acknowledge that one.
Oh, so they're going to pick it up from the second one.
That's what it sounds like.
Okay.
In the early workings of the script right yeah. now, that seems to be the direction they're going. There's no word if any of the other actors will be in it or not or anything, but you do have, I only saw the first one, but from what I can tell, you have the two main people. If you're going to make mm-hmm. another one of these, those are the two to have it. I love the idea of not a reboot. I like the idea of sticking with what works and
right.
that core chemistry and actors. Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz are incredible actors, and they're very good together no matter what the movie is.
That movie is just so classic. Like I remember seeing it in the theater, and this is as someone who comes from a blended family of blended cultures, it's just, you know, sometimes lines in movies, they're just like the most mundane lines, but they speak to you. There's one of the first scenes, Rachel Weisz's character is looking for her brother, but she's walking through like this area that has all of these sarcophagi. That's a tough one. I don't know which way to go.
Plural of that.
And she walks in and she goes, Abdul, Muhammad, Bob. And that line always cracks me up because my dad's name was Abdul, my grandfather's name was Muhammad, and my uncle's name was Bob.
So what are the coincidences?
That line always cracks
me up.
Like, there's not many people that can have all three of those people in their family, but I do.
It's got a special place for you. That original movie, the villain in Arnold Vassalolo.
I
always say his name wrong. Such an underrated performance.
Yeah.
He's so good in that.
Yep.
He's great. You got Jet Li in there. Michelle Yao was I don't know if she was in the original, I remember, but the incredible cast those movies had. And they got a cult following to them.
Yeah.
That really makes sense to bring it back.
Well, and also that entire universe was kind of the birthplace of The Rock coming into his acting chops as the Scorpion King.
So you've got a number of reasons I think that could be successful.
Yeah.
That could do pretty well. Be interesting to see. Fox has a new celebrity game show in the works called Nation's Dumbest. It comes with a twist. The losers are the winners. Celebrities will compete to get kicked off as quickly as possible so that they aren't crowned the nation's dumbest. Fox says the show, quote, flips the genre on its head because for the first time, the goal isn't to win, it's to get eliminated.
Huh.
The show's contestants will include a mix of all types of celebrity, like influencers, comedians, and even politicians.
Hmm.
They will be put to the test with both physical and mental challenges about things everyone should already know. It's actually already a popular Scandinavian series that this will be the U.S. version of. So, you know, like most things, we didn't come up with it. It's something we're kind of...
It sounds like a crossover of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader meets Double Dare meets The Weakest Link.
First thing I thought of was Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's first thing. There's no word yet when it'll come out or who will be competing. When I first glanced at this, I honestly didn't feel great about it.
Mm-hmm.
It felt a little, but as soon as they said that the contestants are going to be celebrities, politicians, influencers, that's different to me.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of everyday people being, you know, being put through the ringer when it comes to social media or some of those things. But anybody else... And that includes, you know, people like ourselves and everything.
Mm-hmm.
When you agree to do certain jobs, you agree to do it all.
Right.
And that includes some of the, you know, parts of it you may not like.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like putting myself out there, but that's part of the job.
Right.
You kind of have to. You don't get to do one or the other. If you are any kind of a celebrity, you agree to this.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, that's fine. You don't have to do that for a living. There's a lot of other things you can do.
Yep.
But the complaint that you hear from some people with, you know, popularity sometimes of, oh, I can't go to the grocery store. I can't do this. I can't do that. We've heard our whole lives celebrities go through that.
Mm-hmm.
You knew this walking into it.
Right.
I don't have any empathy for that. You understand the game you're in. I do have empathy for people that deal with it and the paparazzi and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily think that you can really make a big argument about, well, you know, I make my living on my personality, on my popularity.
Right.
And
being
then,
that public figure, and you put yourself out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of the deal.
Yeah.
It's part of the game that you agree to. So if they're going to be the contestants, I'm all in on this. I don't like the idea of everyday citizens being considered dumb.
No.
I don't know about that. And I thought that word we got rid of. I thought I got in trouble for using that a couple of times. And now we could just name a TV show it, I guess. I don't know.
Things change. I can't keep up with the trends.
I can't either.
I'm too old now.
I have no idea if this show will be good or not, but I will say one thing that this game show, and I think that they underestimate when they create game shows.
Mm.
For one, how quickly can you explain it to somebody?
Yeah.
I think that's a big factor. How quickly can I've never heard of this. I'm flipping through the channels. I turn it on. Can I get what's going on real quickly?
Mm-hmm.
And the host. You got to have a good host.
Oh, who's hosting this?
They don't have a host yet.
They don't.
They haven't said yet.
Hmm.
Actually, now with what you were saying before, maybe Jeff Foxworthy would be a good host. I don't know. He did a great job with the Who's Wants
he
to Be
did,
a Fifth Grader show. It really, you really need a good host.
Yeah.
You can have the world's greatest game show, and if you don't have a good host, that ain't going to last.
Yeah.
It's a weird part of it. You don't think of that often.
I'm trying to think of who I would like to see tell people that they're dumb. And I think the first person that comes to mind would be like Simon Cowell or Gordon Ramsay. I'll never understand the American TV population's obsession with mean British men yelling at them. But
yeah, there's something about that. There's something about that. I imagine for you, it really has. Like, what are you doing? Why would you want this?
Yeah. Like, I was yelled at by a British mother my whole life, and still she yells at me. So on occasion. Right.
I feel this way when I see caricatures of Jewish mothers. Like, you really don't understand. You really, really don't understand. Tom Brady's dog, Lua, died back in 2023, but her spirit lives on, I guess, in the dog, Junie, because Junie is a clone of Lua. This is a weird story. Seriously, Tom Brady has been working with a company called Colossal Biosciences to have his dog cloned. And he's not just a client, he's also an investor in this. In a statement that was obviously written by the company PR team, Brady says, quote, "I love my animals. They mean the world to me and my family. A few years ago, I worked with Colossal and leveraged with non-invasive cloning technology through a simple blood draw for our family's elder dog before she passed." He added, quote, "I'm excited how this technology can help both families losing their beloved pets while helping to save endangered species." Now, anything that can help an endangered species stick around, I'm all in favor of. Oh, wait, we can do that without science. How about we just go ahead and try to keep these animals around while they're around? That's a factor right there. I don't know that you're ever going to lose anybody on trying to bring back the dodo.
How dare you try to make sense?
Right. How dare I? I'm all in favor of the idea of bringing back certain endangered animals. Mm-hmm. I bring up the dodo because it's a popular one, but also because it's one that, if you know the history of it, it's really our fault in many ways.
Yeah.
And no fault to the animal itself.
Right.
And this is not me, but hearing actual people that are actually working on this stuff and talking about it, if you introduce the dodo to most environments, not all, but most environments, it is not going to muck up the food chain. It is not. It is one of the few animals that it will pretty much adapt and find its way, and most of nature will adapt with it. Again, this is people much smarter than me talking about it.
So fascinating, though.
It really is. Yeah. It's awesome. I've gone down rabbit holes on this one so many times. With what he's talking about, once again, Tom Brady has no idea how to relate to people. He has no clue. I don't know where this changed for him, where this happened. Maybe it was when he was shaving off part of his chin. I don't know, because he literally did that. But he could not be more unrelatable. When I hear him broadcasting, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like there's no relationship between him and the everyday person. And a story like this really screams of that.
It's just a vanity thing in my brain.
It's about you and not the animal.
Right.
You're not trying to keep the animal around. You're trying to keep your love around.
Yeah.
You're trying to keep your thing around. And again, sorry to be Jimmy serious about this one, but for every animal you clone, that's an adopted animal that doesn't get adopted.
This is true. I mean, and it's just a hop, skip, and a jump away from being unethical in so many ways.
Oh, it's way too close to playing God.
And it's just so Jurassic Park in my book.
We know how this ends.
I know.
We know how this ends. There's six movies that'll tell you how this ends.
And they're never ending. There's just so many more Jurassic Park movies.
So many more.
Because clearly, as humans, we have not learned our lesson.
No.
Stop cloning things.
Shouldn't be cloning anything. Part of what we love about these creatures is that whether we realize it or not, or whether we accept it or not, we don't have that long with them.
Right.
So every moment matters.
Exactly.
It's no different than as people and our loved ones.
Circle of life.
Every single one of us got somebody or something we love that we would love to bring back.
Right.
But we also understand that's not how this works.
I would love to bring back my waistline from a year ago, but that's going to take some work.
It's well played. Well done. Well done. I wanted to talk about a couple of local events going on. Yesterday, we were lucky to be joined by our friends at McMillan Library. They got this short story contest going on right now. It's going on now until December 7th. Encourage people to learn more about it. Word counts, not a big one, 7,500 words, not that much. And I think that while sitting down and trying to write the great next American novel can be quite difficult. Mm-hmm. I believe everybody can write short stories, mm-hmm. and almost everybody has a short story in their head.
Yeah.
Why not put it to word? Put Absolutely. It to pen to paper. Be a part of this one. They got some fun prizes along with it, and it's just fun creatively to do.
Hmm.
Encourage you to learn more about that one at MacmillanLibrary.com. Be sure to head on over there and check that out. And along with that, make sure to make plans to take in the Brian Drowsh experience. He is going to be performing live at Macmillan on Thursday, November 13th, a week from now, or a week and a day from now, 7 to 9:30 over at the Fine Arts Center, right next to the Makerspace. Find out more about the Makerspace and be sure to take in this great concert. Shout out to our friends over at Macmillan Library, bringing in these great acts and all this fun that they do. And as I mentioned earlier, we are celebrating all month long our 85th anniversary here at WFHR. Mm-hmm. We've been building up to this with one of our big parts of our celebration is putting together our 85th anniversary cookbook.
I finally put my recipe. Now, let me tell you, it was so difficult because I am just throw everything into a pot kind of cooker. Mm. So I had to like really think about like, well, how much tablespoons would I put yeah. of this, yes, that, yes. and the other in there? So it was very, very difficult, but I did it. I literally forced myself. I'm like, if I don't do it now, I'll never do it.
And good on you.
Yeah.
Good on you.
It's done.
I actually got my mother to sit down last night, and with the help of my brother and sister, we entered our recipe.
Mm-hmm.
We entered my Nana's Sunday sauce.
Nice.
It is in a rough outline of it because, yeah. like most Italians, a pinch of this, a pinch of
right.
that.
You know, you cook with your heart. And,
right.
you know, there's never enough. You know, if it calls for one thing of garlic, you put in seven things of garlic. And,
yeah.
and you can
yeah.
tell by the fact that I don't even know the terminology that I am, you know, I am not a... I could never bake. I love watching the Great British Baking Show, and I'll be the first person sitting there going, how dare you put that much frosting, you fool? But if I tried to do it, it would just be a globby mess. Mm. So, yeah.
You and me both. I was talking with my mom because what she had a couple of things that she wanted to submit, and what came up was a couple of like her pound cake recipe and some mm-hmm. of her baking things. And I love baked goods, and I'm trying to convince her to make them. And she's like, why don't you just make them? Like, Mom.
Yeah.
Like, really. Like,
look at my skill sets.
Do you want the house burned down?
Right.
Are you asking for that? Like, do you want to move? Is that
yeah.
it? Like, because there's easier ways to do it
yeah.
like, than letting me cook.
That, yeah.
it's not, I can cook okay,
mm-hmm.
but certainly with something like that, with I need supervision.
It's science and it's math, and I'm not good at either of those things.
It's not my wheelhouse. No,
nope.
no. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun. But before we do, though, I want to remind everybody to submit those recipes. Go to WFHR.com. Submit that recipe like Ali and I have.
Mm-hmm.
We want yours in there. And if your recipe is submitted, you get a free edition of the cookbook. We'll be wrapping this up real soon, everybody, because we got to get these out to the printer and everything so we mm-hmm. can get these going. So get those recipes to us. And while you're at WFHR.com, sign up for the newsletter, your one-stop shop for all Central Wisconsin news. Get on over to WFHR.com. We'll be back with more show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Something about Stevie Wonder gets in
oh,
my
yeah.
veins. And, oh, man,
mm-hmm.
can't help but move. We appreciate you joining us. Moving on over to here, we are having some fun celebrating our 85th anniversary here at WFHR, where we've been able to cover, I mean, think about the past 85 years, and whatever big story you're thinking of, we have covered it here, whether on a local level or on a statewide level. We have been able to keep our community informed and up to date on very important issues, especially when it comes to local ones and that. And we've also been able to talk animal stories. Nobody brings you as many animal stories as we do.
Nope.
Nobody does. And now we've even got the rest of our team sending us stories and everything. And Aaliyah sent this one over. Shout out to you for this, because I had missed this one. I appreciate it.
I had assumed you'd already talked about this on air, so I'm like just personally on it. You know, this is like that 83% praise that you waited for me to be in studio.
yes,
to reveal
yes.
for the big reveal of this story,
because we got to talk about Chunkosaurus Rex. Sounds like a what are the like Friday
right
at the Alpine Coliseum, watch Chunkosaurus. Rotund rodents from across the state of Texas competed in Texas Parks and Wildlife's inaugural Fat Squirrel Week, with a squirrel named Chunkosaurus Rex taking the top spot. Fat Squirrel Week, inspired by the Academy National Park's annual Fat Bear Week, aimed to find the fattest squirrel across all of Texas state parks. Chunkosaurus Rex, a resident of Dinosaur Valley State Park in the Glen Rose area, was crowned the competition's first ever winner after a bracket style competition using social media likes as for votes. And he deserved it. I looked at some of the contestants. He's definitely the chunkiest.
Is he the chunkiest?
Yeah, Chunkosaurus Rex faced off in the finals against Chunk Norris from Fort Richardson State Park after fellow Final Four squirrels Nutella from Lake Mineral.
Goodness.
And the Texas Tank from Cleburne State Park were eliminated. Chunk Norris is fantastic.
Did they perhaps... I mean, I know. Was this a visual? Did they just look at the squirrels and be like, Chunkosaurus Rex is the chonkiest of them all? Or did they weigh them? Like, I have questions. I have follow-up questions.
I want them on rapid support. I want to ask them, like, I want them for an hour. And I got so many follow-up questions.
So we need a Wisconsin equivalent. So yes. We need our audience to call in and be like, what fat animal do we need to be, you know, displaying here?
Turkeys?
In Wisconsin?
Can we do it turkeys? Or
badgers?
I don't know if I've ever seen a fat deer. I don't know that exists.
That was the first
thing
that came to mind.
Yeah, so that seems like that one wouldn't work too much or anything. Although, if you have a picture of what I suppose. Oh, wait, I do actually have I have a picture of a white albino deer that was huge. That thing was huge, but it was also sitting down, so I don't know if it was that or not.
We all spread out when we sit down.
Right, right.
We're all Chunkosaurus Rex when we sit.
I love that. I encourage people to look up Chunkosaurus Rex the squirrel, but I like your angle on this. I think we got to come up with a Wisconsin
equivalent.
We need
a Wisconsin equivalent. Yeah.
I think wild turkeys is notable. That's one that should be in the running.
They kind of are.
Yeah. It was just
which I guess would make it more impressive if you're like a naturally lean animal and then you're just like,
whoa. I'm going to be honest. The city boy here was just proud that he thought of an animal other than a deer. And so that was just what I'm just hanging on to that now. I think you're completely right about the size of turkeys, though. I don't think that really works. Squirrels, I guess it would work with squirrels. We got plenty of them around here.
Texas already has claimed the squirrel. We need something more like Wisconsin coded. Fat badger. I'm looking for the fat badger.
I like the badger. I like the badger thing. I like that. We want all pictures of those. Be sure to share them with us, everybody.
Just don't get too close. Those things can be mean.
There ain't many more. Like, now I'm thinking about just getting the pictures of these squirrels. Mm-hmm. Even a squirrel like does not seem to be still very long.
Right. What was going on in this squirrel's life that made him get that fat? Like, was he just a depressed little Chunkosaurus Rex? I just can't stop saying Chunkosaurus Rex at this point.
It's just fun
to
say.
It's addictive.
You put it in your lexicon now, everybody. Include Chunkosaurus Rex wherever you can, and be sure to look him up online. That's a fun one. That's a great story. Thank you for bringing that to us. We'll take a quick break, get to our news, sports, entertainment, and check out some news from our partners. When we come back, what does your drink order say about you? What does your drink order say about you? Coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Aaliyah and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Mm-hmm.
Got an interesting one to get into, but I got to pull an audible because you reminded me of something in our break here, Aaliyah. Last night, I was getting a bunch of work done, and I'm kind of running around crazy, and I'm about to ready to get the dog out. And I hear from my room, Ozzy Osbourne's No More Tears.
Uh-huh.
And I'm excited. I love the song. And I just thought it was great. And my dad doesn't play music very often, mm-hmm. but he likes Ozzy. So it's not that surprising. And I walk into the living room and he's jamming out to Ozzy Osbourne's No More Tears while he's watching Dancing with the Stars.
Yep. It was
and
an awesome.
It threw
dance.
Me. It really threw me. Hearing Alfonso Ribeiro talk about Ozzy Osbourne was very weird to me. It's also the most I think I've watched of that show. I haven't really ever watched it before, but mm-hmm. I watched that dance and a little bit of that. And my dad was getting into it in part because of Andy Richter.
Yeah.
And I'm not really making a connection right away, mm-hmm. but he immediately goes, because I was a little surprised he was watching it. He doesn't traditionally watch the show. He was watching it because of Andy Richter,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't understand right away. I forgot Andy wished my dad a happy birthday once.
Aww.
It was just a 5-second interaction. He was literally in near me, and I just said it jokingly, and then he grabbed the phone from me and said, "Hello, Mr. James. Happy birthday.
Aww.
Now your son has to get back to work." It was something like that. I know he called him Mr. James.
Yep.
I know that because afterwards he was joking that he didn't know my last name and he felt bad, which to I responded, I didn't care. I thought it was so cool that he remembered that like here he is rooting for him on Dancing with the Stars and everything. I thought that was pretty fun.
His winning hearts.
He moved on?
He moved. I'm sorry if I'm spoiling it for people that haven't watched it he has been beating out people that were stronger dancers week after week. But it's because his heart is on his sleeve. It's in his eye. It's the twinkle in his eyes. He's not going to, my prediction, he's not going to win. There are much stronger dancers that are going to win, but he is winning hearts like it's nobody's. He's going to be the Miss Congeniality. Year's Dancing with the Stars.
You know, somebody who watches takes in the show or anything, but I know that there have been plenty of people who are great dancers that have won, and plenty of people who've gone on pretty far. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not great dancers, but people like them.
Yeah.
Just like there are people who aren't great dancers that don't go very far.
Right.
So it seems like a good mix.
Yeah.
Seems like, you know, fair
mix. He's committing. He's loving it. I listened to his podcasts, and he was on with some comedian last night even, and they were talking about something, and he's like, "Well, you know, I'm a dancer now," so it's like he's really committing to it.
He's the most genuine person I've ever met in the industry,
yeah,
by far and away.
Yeah,
it is him, one, Conan, two, easily. It could not be more not putting on airs. What you see is what you get, kind of guy.
Funny thing, too, my 11-year-old daughter was sitting next to me as I was watching it last night, and they were doing Rock and Roll Hall of Fame dance songs people that were Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, and all of the songs were being done by the in-house band, except for the Ozzy song.
Okay.
And my husband was sitting on the other couch, and he's like, "You can't have someone else sing Ozzy, especially right now, you know, in the wake of the whole world grieving Ozzy being gone." But my daughter was like, "Oh, thank goodness they didn't have the house band do Ozzy. Only Ozzy can do Ozzy." And I'm like, "I've raised this child right."
Yes, you have. Yes, you've raised that one right. Yes. That's really smart on their part, too, because you're right. That probably might come across bad if you had the house band doing it or something.
Not the house band is bad. They're really, really good. Yeah. But it's like, Ozzy is kind of like, you know, that's a sacred cow that you don't tip over.
Can only imagine what Ozzy would have chosen for his drink when it comes to this next one. According to Food and Wine, your drink order reveals a bit about you. And apparently, servers will begin judging you based on that sometimes. Here is what your go-to drink order says about you.
Okay.
And again, this is a case-by-case basis and everything, but just kind of having fun with it in a broad version, look at it and everything. Mm-hmm. Water. Well, waiters will assume you either focused on hydration or wanted to save money. But there's a range here. If you order tap water, you're down to earth. But sparkling water says you're up to, for adventure.
What if you ask for a lemon in it?
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Great. Are you ostentatious then?
Puts a real twist in it.
It's a $10 word for you today.
It's a real twist. No, that was a good word. That's a good word. Or maybe you're, of a certain generation. Like, I know my Nana, her generation, like a glass of ice water was, you know, might as well be champagne. I think it could be very different from different people.
Sure.
I personally, sometimes I want a glass of water just because I really want to taste my food and I don't want the drink to dilute it.
Okay.
I don't want to have a soda or a beer or something like that because I really want to taste the steak or something. I mean, I don't know. Everybody's a little different.
That's very strategic. I like that.
I overthink literally everything.
I haven't noticed this about you at all.
A cosmopolitan. If you order this, you're extra fancy and possibly a huge Sex and the City fan.
Hmm.
I think they're having some fun with that one, but I don't know. So if you were a server and somebody is ordering these, I think that's another fun way to look at this.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cosmopolitan. I don't know. I'm impressed that you know what a cosmopolitan is.
I have had one before in my life.
Yeah. I don't know that a whole lot of people know what those are anymore. I don't know how popular the drink is anymore.
I don't know.
It might be very popular and I just have no idea.
And there's regions, like drinks get popular by region too.
Yeah. I think you might be able to insert your region's drink for a cosmopolitan in that one.
Yeah.
A coffee. Coffee can tell a lot about the person, but it depends on how you take it. If you take it black, it gives off the impression that you're straightforward and ready to get down to business.
Okay.
If you're drinking it with oat milk, nutmeg, whipped cream, and a whole bunch of other stuff, you might be high maintenance.
Or you just like flavors.
Or you just want to treat your taste buds good. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm sure that in the overall people that do this, there are some people that might be high maintenance. But at the same time, I'm sure there are plenty of other people that just like to treat their taste buds.
I mean, I think someone that drinks coffee black just wants to wake up really, really fast.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to gradually wake up, so I put all sorts of froofy things in my coffee.
All the people I know that drink black coffee grew up with somebody that drank black coffee. And that they kind of almost inherited it. In a weird way.
I just had a really bad experience in college where I drank 3 cups of black coffee back to back and then ate a whole bunch of baked goods that were in the dorm area during finals week. And I got the, and I dumped a bunch of sugar in it because I knew I couldn't drink it black. But between that and brownies and chocolate chip cookies and everything, like, I was on a sugar high. I think I actually threw up the next day, and I was on just completely coffee and sugar.
It was That'll do good. It to you.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Yep.
Hot tea. If you order a hot tea, it says you are introspective, sincere, and know how to take care of yourself. That seems like a good thing to order on a first date. That seems like a good one. Good starter right there.
No matter who I am as a person, they're going to think this of me.
Maybe I can trick them. I'm joking. That's one that makes the most sense to me, actually. That kind of adds up to me. Most of the people I've ever known that drink a lot of tea or whatever, that kind of fits to a lot of their way they are.
Yeah.
And Tito's and vodka. If you order a Tito's and vodka, your bartender will make fun of you. mostly because Tito's is already vodka, and you're kind of, you know, doubling it up and everything. So you're basically asking for a double vodka.
Yep.
One bar even charges you extra if you do this. Woo,
that's... You better be careful what you're ordering then.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what about other drinks? Like, and I'm not saying so much to the server, but what does it say to you about maybe your significant other or your friend or your coworker or whatever else that is? I have, again, this is such an interesting one to me because I've honestly never thought about this. And as one of the world's biggest overthinkers, when I come across a topic that I have not overthought, I'm blown away. And on its surface, I can't say that I would ever put any thought into this.
Right.
I don't think...
I really don't care what other people are drinking at any given time.
And I would not make any assumption about what somebody... Like, I'm meeting somebody for the first time and they have one of these drinks in front of them. I'm not making any assumptions given on their drink.
All of a sudden, I'm hiding my Diet Coke.
Yeah.
You see nothing.
I really can't think of associating a drink with somebody.
Right.
In any format, any way, outside of advertising.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I've never really made that connection before. I don't see it. But I'm a little curious if other people do. You know, just what their take is on it and stuff. Let us know, everybody. We'd like to hear from you. I think that could be an interesting one, given we whether we like it or not, I think most people, you survey most people, and most of us all grow up in agreeing with you can't judge a book by its cover.
Right.
Also, those same people, and I am one of them, have blind spots.
Sure.
Have spots that whether we realize it or not, we are probably judging something.
Right.
Or we are making an
assumption of some sort.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's just human nature. It's I think it's better to own this and understand that we all have these blind spots. And give each other some grace on this one instead of kind of judging.
Right.
Because like most things in life, you point the finger, you got 3 more pointing right back at you. I mean, if you are one of these, if you are somebody who has nothing that you do this with, for one, you're lying to yourself. But also, more power to you, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that there's nobody out there that doesn't have something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think about the fact that, like, in my household, my husband and his sons are very, very, they're picky eaters. And I judge them for their pickiness. I'm like, just eat it. Just eat the food.
Yeah.
No, I have to take the mayonnaise off, or I have to take the tomatoes off.
That is so me.
I am
such a picky eater. I've tried to get a lot better about it. I really, really have. I've going back to treating your taste buds, I've been trying really hard. I quit smoking some years back, and I all of a sudden started to taste my food again.
Yeah.
So then I started to be like, well, hey, you know, I'm a little older. Maybe I should try some stuff. And I get a little bit better. I'm also nowhere near where I should be at my age.
Yeah.
I do not eat like an adult. adult, I know that. I know I need to be better. But as bad as I am, at least I'm not as bad as the Maine health officials. That ain't right story for the ages here.
Oh, no.
And Aaliyah, I don't think you've gotten to do one of our that ain't right stories
yet. Am I sitting down? Yes, I am.
Yeah, everybody should be. Everybody, if you're not sitting down, you need to. A computer system error caused by Maine health officials sent letters of condolence to more than 500 living people to inform them their next of kin that they reported deaths. Maine Health, the state's largest provider of medical services, sent the false condolence letters to 531 people. Quote, Maine Health sincerely regrets this error, Maine Health officials said in a prepared statement. The cause of the mistake was a computer program that generated estate vendor letters. There were no medical records that listed the individuals as dead, and the computer program has since been corrected to prevent future occurrences. But my God, it employs more than, I mean, I could not imagine what this is like on either end.
Right.
Getting one of these emails, getting one of these messages, let alone being.
Oh, it was emailed.
Yes, sending their condolences to hundreds of people. I'm guessing it was email. I guess I shouldn't assume. Maybe it was a letter in the mail.
Well, I mean, physical letter, that in today's age, that would be interesting because, like, what if you're in the living room with the person that you're getting the condolence for and you just look at them and be like, did you know that you're dead?
That is a wild
email
story.
Would be way scarier because you don't know what happened.
Yeah. That ain't right. That is a rough one right there. I can't even begin to imagine what the try to make up for that is.
No.
That's rough. That's right.
That's toughie.
Think you're having a bad day.
Right? Like,
you're having a rough day at work, everybody. Think about working there.
Right?
Think about doing that job. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show, the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, celebrating our 85th anniversary around here. Lee and James with you.
Hello.
And take you right to the top of the hour. None but great civic media programming coming up for you throughout the day. Be sure to be here for it, everybody. Got some good stuff lined up for you. Looking forward to hearing it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little bit later today, we will have on 105.5 WIRI Playmakers, where we speak sport from 4 to 5. Be sure to join us for that. Big shout out to Quality Plus Printing and our sports director, Michael Comer. Will be joining us. We're looking forward to it. We're going to have a lot of things to talk about today. It won't be the same without you. Get us your sports takes and feelings. Join us for Playmakers from 4 to 5 on 105.5 WIRI, everybody. Also got a great Rapids report lined up for you today. Be sure to join us for that at WFHR.com. Our good friend Sheriff Sean Becker going to be in with us as we sit back for an hour talking with Wood County Sheriff's Department. We will have our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media in to record their video part of that. Looking forward to it. And a big thank you to Crockett Septic, of course, for sponsoring that. We appreciate it. Also got some other great things going on in our area. It is a Wednesday. We all know what that means. Bingo! Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge number 693. Join them as their doors open at 5. Bingo kicks off at 6:30. Have a good time. Take in the atmosphere and enjoy yourself. And if you haven't been before, get there early. Get there right at 5. That place loads up quick. Like, that is a hopping. I've never, in the 9 years I've been back and been going back and forth past that building, every Wednesday night, it seems like, it's always packed. Have a great time, enjoy yourself, and get on over there to the Elks Lodge for bingo, 6:30 tonight, over at 430 West Jackson Street, right here in Rapids. Also wanted to let everybody know about a blood drive opportunity coming up this Saturday. Yeah, it's tomorrow. It's going on tomorrow from 10 to 3 over at the ODC at 1191 Huntington Avenue. Join our great friends over at the ODC and be a superhero if you can. You don't need a cape. You don't need a tragic backstory. You could be a superhero just by donating from 10 to 3 tomorrow at the ODC. Head on over there, everybody.
Yes.
Encourage you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Aaliyah, we got some other things in town going on.
Yeah. So starting this month, we've got the Wisconsin Rapids Winter Farmers Market starting. It's going to be Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Moravian Church, which is at 310 First Avenue South in Wisconsin Rapids. Again, that's going to go November through mid-May. They
do close on holidays. And then for next week, we've got some exciting events going on the 10th and the 11th, Veterans Day events in Wisconsin Rapids, November 10th and 11th. On November 10th, the VFW is going to be doing a all-you-can-eat spaghetti dinner, Veterans Eat Free, at VFW Post 2534 at 2711 Redden Road. That's going to be happening from 4:30 to 7 p.m. And then on Tuesday, November 11th, in my personal opinion, one of the best days of the year because it also happens to be my birthday. At 11 a.m., there's going to be a Veterans Day ceremony at Veterans Park in downtown Wisconsin Rapids. At 1 p.m., there's going to be a Legacy Stone dedication at Assumption High School. That's on Chestnut Street in Wisconsin Rapids. And at 3 p.m., there's going to be a Veterans Day observance with a rededication of the Veterans Memorial at Midstate Technical College at 32nd Street North in Wisconsin Rapids. So go out there. I'm married to a veteran, so I am, and my father-in-law is a veteran, so I love it when we support our veterans because they're important and amazing people.
Be a part of those events, everybody. We'll be talking them up as we get closer and closer to them. And appreciate our good friend Tom Heiser getting us those monthly veteran updates every month. Be listening at the beginning of December for another one from Tom. And we were talking about the Moravian Church. Well, be sure to be there this Saturday from 4 to 7. They got their chili dinner going on. Join them for that. Sounds really good. They're going to have carryouts available for you if you want. They're also going to, if you're under 5 and under, getting in for free, 13 years plus, $8, 6 to 12, $4. This helps do some great things in our community. Be sure to join them for some great chili for the at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church this Saturday for their chili dinner. That's
nice. I'm going to walk through some neighbors' backyards to get to that.
Yeah, that's a good that's a good call on your part. And a great call on their part. Chili this time of year, perfect combination.
It is definitely soup season, and while I do not believe that chili is a soup, it falls adjacent to the soup category, and so eat all of it you can.
If you got to put it in a category, yeah.
It's its own category, yeah, but it's soup adjacent.
It is. And that's going to be a great time and a great one. Be sure to check that out. And again, all month long, everybody, we are collecting memories from you about WFHR. We want to hear from you. We want to know some of your favorite memories about WFHR, favorite voices, personalities, shows, any of the above. Maybe a moment that you were listening to the news that was a really groundbreaking moment in our society or our world or something like that. We'd love to hear from you about it. Big thank you to everybody who has already kind of given us some memories of their own and stuff and really gotten the ball rolling with this. Feel free to call in to the show if you'd like or email us or text us, however you'd like to. And that also includes your recipes. We want your recipes at WFHR.com. Head on over there, sign up for the newsletter, and while you are doing that, get us your recipe. Aaliyah, you guys added yours yesterday.
I know we did.
That's kind of funny. We did it both yesterday.
I know. I was like, time's running out. I got to get that in.
That's exactly what it was for me. I've been on my mom for weeks about this, and yesterday was kind of like, okay, we both have the time. Let's sit down and do this. And it took us 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it really didn't take that long. If you are not able to get your recipe online to us, get it to us by coming on over. Stop by. We'd be happy to photocopy it for you or something along those lines. We'll even enter it for you. We just want you to be a part of this.
Right.
Get to WFHR.com and sign up for that newsletter and get us that recipe. And again, if you need to get it to us another way, reach out to us. We'll figure it out. And a big thank you to everybody celebrating this 85th with us, not just here in our community, but all of our civic media family members out there have been really cool and great
Very supportive.
It's really great. It's really great. We appreciate you all. This could have been really bad news, but it's not. It's a good story. And keep in mind, if I'm talking about it, it ended well. A teenager in Kansas City was on a roller coaster at an amusement park last month when her seatbelt came undone mid-ride.
I heard about this.
A couple in the next row heard her scream and held her down until the ride ended. They say she was close to being thrown out every time they went over a hill or around a big turn. They got one of those fun photo parks sell at the end of the ride, and it did not look like a fun experience.
No.
The park said they checked everything out and made sure the coaster was safe before resuming the rides that day. It's a wonderful moment that is really, even knowing how it ended, it's still crazy to hear and read the story.
Well, I also read that it was the tallest coaster at the park, and I could not determine from reading the articles that I read whether or not it like did any loop-de-loops, which would scare me to death.
Oh my God,
I love roller coasters. They terrify me at the same time, which is, I think, part of the allure of the roller coaster, which is surprising because I'm a massive chicken. But yeah, that I read that, and I was just like, oh my God.
gosh, she's so lucky. And that her neighboring seat people were like cognizant enough to turn around and like hold her in the moment.
I mean, I don't know where my focus goes more, those people, her, right, or whatever, but right, it's a really cool story of strangers helping strangers.
Not all heroes wear capes. Sometimes they hold you down on a roller coaster.
People magazine did a story on a nurse in Texas who made a career shift after her son was born premature. He spent 31 days in the hospital. She worked in the hospital's ICU before that, but she found it so inspiring, she decided she only wanted to work with kids from that now on. She's now a nurse in the same neurological intensive care unit that saved her son's life.
Aww.
That's a beautiful story.
Yes.
We never know where our career paths can lead us or where what direction they can take us.
Mm-hmm.
I think more times than not, it has to do with money or it has to do with, you know, where you are location-wise, mm-hmm, or anything. I love hearing stories like this of somebody. She's got a brain for this world.
Right.
And she could probably put it to any use in any place. She chose this place because I don't think it's a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what happened to her son and all these things lined her up to be in this particular place because that's where she's probably most needed.
Mm-hmm.
I think more times than not, life kind of lines us into this direction. We are always where we are meant to be. Good, bad, gray, we're always where we're meant to be. And I think stories like that really bring that home.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool story.
Yeah.
And it's been a very cool show. You did a great job. Nice working with you today.
Oh, that's 83% of the praise I'll need for today.
See, I got a little more in. Got a little more in right before. Good show today. And great. Be good to each other out there, everybody.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.